I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Something to keep in mind if you're watching the State of the Union address tonight. Presidents take the moment to make wish lists, and often those ideas go nowhere. For example, in 2015, Barack Obama promised spending billions of dollars to make childcare more affordable. That didn't happen, to the frustration of many working parents. But a number of other countries have found ways to do it. And it made the world's Alison Herrera wonder, if it is doable, why not here?
1, 2, 3, 4. Every week, around 200 children come to New Horizon Academy in downtown St. Paul. Some of the families who drop their kids off at this childcare center get some sort of assistance to help with the $400 weekly fee. That's a pretty standard rate for childcare in the United States, but it's a far cry from what these families would pay for daycare in the province of Quebec.
It started 20 years ago at $5 a day, and it's now middle-class families pay $8 a day.
That's Canadian economist Pierre Fortin talking about Quebec's universal childcare program. Since its creation 2 decades ago, it's become a model for the rest of the world. And yes, you heard that right. Families there pay $8 Canadian per day. The total cost to Quebec province, $2 billion per year. Fortin says that's a lot of money, but it's offset by something else.
The low-fee universal system has been so successful in attracting new mothers that it has induced an incredible increase in the labor force participation rate of young women in Quebec.
85% of women ages 26 through 44 are now in the workforce in Quebec, the highest participation rate in the world, according to Fortin. And that means more tax revenue, he says, enough to pay for the cost of the universal program. Here in the U.S., there's an ongoing conversation how the high cost of daycare keeps some women with small children from taking jobs and missing out on career opportunities. They point to places like Quebec, Sweden, and France that have some form of universal care and ask, why can't the U.S. have something like this? Oh, wait, it did. During World War II, while men were fighting overseas, women filled jobs in shipyards and factories. Think Rosie the Riveter. And they needed childcare. So who watched Rosie's kids? Turns out it was Uncle Sam.
When married women with small children have to take jobs, everything possible will be done to provide day care for the children.
Congress passed something known as the Lanham Act of 1940, which provided subsidized care for at least 600,000 children in more than 3,000 centers across the country. Here's a woman named Winona Sample from the Red Lake Indian Reservation in Minnesota. She worked at one of those centers in Paso Robles, California. She spoke with an oral historian.
My mother-in-law, she's a cook, so she took a job there at the center. And she said, it was such fun. So I said, why don't you volunteer? So I did it. And 2 weeks, I said, do you want a job as an assistant? So I took the assistant job for 2 weeks, and about a month later, I was a director.
Like the Quebec program, these centers didn't come cheap. In today's dollars, the total cost was more than $1 billion. When the war ended, so did the funding for most of these centers, says Chris Herbst at Arizona State University's School of Public Affairs.
And the reasons for that, I think, have to do with perceived costs of those programs, who's going to pay for them.
The other reason had to do with perceptions of who should care for kids, moms or the government.
Public opinion, and certainly the opinion of government administrators, was pretty negative on the role of institutional child care. Child care was very solidly seen as a private responsibility or the responsibility of families.
Herb says even though the program didn't survive, it did change public opinion about the role of childcare outside the home. And it helped increase women's participation in the workforce, just like the program in Quebec. In 1971, the U.S. got close to adopting universal subsidized childcare. Congress passed legislation, but Richard Nixon vetoed it. But that's the last time the U.S. seriously considered it. So does it even make sense to look at what other countries are doing? Betty Emerita says yes, but
I don't want to say that, you know, all of the solutions are from outside the country.
Emerita has studied childcare models in Minnesota and the U.S. for 15 years. She went to Sweden to study their childcare, and she thinks it would be great if we had services like Sweden or Quebec. But the bottom line is, we can't wait for a time when the U.S. is ready to consider those kinds of models. We have to build on what working families here are already doing.
I think if we paid attention to what families figure out in their communities, we could learn a lot. If we could figure out how to lift up and support what families are already doing. And actually, we are moving toward that. We've got a shot at it.
That shot she's talking about is a local one in Minnesota. Legislation to create a fund to subsidize childcare. It's not a Quebec-style solution, she concedes, but it's a start. For The World, I'm Alison Herrera.